Good morning, Arizona homeowners. Why don't you come with us and let's walk around the backyard and see if we can't find old Jay Harper around here somewhere. He forgot to turn his sprinklers off with that rain, and you don't need those today. I came across Northern, and it was wet from 57th Avenue all the way to 12th Street, and I turn into the studio, and the first thing I see up the driveway is they've got median between the streets. It's got all these palm trees and grass, and every sprinkler in the grass is growing, and there's three leaks, and you've got another stream running down the street. Well, that's not gonna help us save our 10% water consumption there.
No. You know, the problem with a lot of these irrigation systems, especially commercial ones, who's watching it anyway? And they're on at 5:30 in the morning, you know, so nobody's seeing the leak unless they see the wet spot in the road then, you know, later that day when they show up. So yeah, there's a lot to be said for just once in a while turning your sprinklers on and while you're home and watching what they're doing.
We're in the Outdoor Living Hour, talking landscape and gardening. If you'd like to join the conversation with Jay Harper, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Arizona Saturday morning tradition for 28 years. Jennifer's call screening, Mike's on the board. Rosie's running some numbers over here. I thought it might be your water test with Jay, but you guys are doing utility bills.
We're doing some calculations over here.
You guys have a utility consumption contest going on as well?
No, not a contest. I'm trying to get my bill down.
And I don't participate much in the Outdoor Hour because my answer to everything is flamethrower, chainsaw. Flamethrower, chainsaw.
Dynamite.
Dynamite yeah. Works too. Yeah. When necessary.
So you sent me some interesting information about a garden back east that has some kind of interesting plants in it.
You know, I don't know what about this caught my eye, but the more I started reading, the more I started kind of cracking up in a not so funny way. It's a garden in Northern England, a public garden that some king started in the 1700s. And in 2005, they put in a section that's just poisonous plants. And I can't even pronounce half these names, but it's really a effort to educate the public on drug use.
Uh-huh.
And they do have plants in there that they derive cocaine from and other narcotics. But it goes into the plants that are used in synthetics and all the, like, for example, this foxglove.
Mm-hmm. Digitalis.
Results of overdose of digitalis can cause nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, as well as sometimes resulting in jaundice, yellow vision, appearance of blurred outline halos, drooling, abnormal heart rate, cardiac.
Sounds like you on Sunday morning after
weakness,
a big
collapse,
Saturday night out.
Dilated pupils, seizures, and even death. So is that where they get all the disclaimers at the end of drug commercials? Are they just reading what plants are in the material?
Could be. You know, because, you know, digitalis also used in a certain strength is a heart. People with a heart condition take digitalis, or they used to. I don't know if they use it anymore or not. But so a lot of plants, you'd be surprised, you know, how many plants have a part of the plant that is, you know, poisonous, toxic, you know, et cetera. For instance, tomato plants, the leaf, the plant part of the tomato plant is quote unquote poisonous. Now, I don't know how much of it you'd have to eat or consume for it to make you sick. And poisonous doesn't mean it's necessarily lethal. So there's a ton of things, different parts of plants that are. Some are very, very bad, like, you know, Texas Mountain Laurel, for instance, you know, the mescal bean tree that we sell tons of Texas Mountain Laurels have a seed that's very, very poisonous, but it's harder than heck. I mean, it's like to try and crack one of those seed pods open to get to the seed is, you know, very difficult. You'd have to really work at it. But, it, you know, and it's a beautiful plant and has a great value in the landscape. So, you know, there's a lot of things that have some part of it, you know, most of them we never hear anything about. But some of those, you had, there was ricin on there and
things you don't think about that really do come originally from a plant. Cyanide,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Castor oil, part of the ingredient castor oil.
Yeah, castor bean plant. Yeah, we make castor oil out. Yeah.
Hemlock, sure. Is that source. It was quite interesting. It's so much of our garden hour we're talking about growing to eat.
Yeah.
This takes it to a whole different level.
Yeah, we don't want to go there too much other than, you know, it's time to, here we are almost, you know, our next show is going to be September, right? So we really want to start keying in on fall vegetables, you know, getting the garden ready. You know, if you've gotten some rain the last few days in different parts of the valley, it's a great time to get that, you know, start pulling weeds and getting the ground tilled up and turned over and getting some organic material worked in. We have lots of calls this week, people looking for, you know, cooled off just a little bit. And everybody's chomping at the bit to start planting fall vegetable starts. It's probably just, not probably, it is just still a little bit early for the starts. But if your ground is ready, there are some things seed-wise that you could be, you know, getting in the ground. You know, your root crops, beets and carrots and things like that from seed could be started.
And with the long, wet August, your ground's as good of working condition as you could probably ask for.
Yeah, I think most places in town probably the last couple of weeks have gotten, you know, pretty decent rainfall or two, depending on where you live. So it's a good, you know, with that moist soil, makes it a whole lot easier to start tilling up, and turning in, and getting some cultivation going and getting that ground loosened up and being ready to go. So when we do get into about the middle of September, realistically, for starts, for vegetable plant starts, you're good and ready to go. This season doesn't make a lot of sense on most of that plant material, most of those crops, to cheat and try and get it in too early, because it's a pretty long season anyway for our leafy things, our greens, our lettuces and chards and spinach and cauliflower and cabbage. You got a long season. So you're better off waiting until really the temperature is non-stressful to the plants to get those in. If you are somebody, though, that does start things from seed, you know, you want to take advantage of the warmer soil temperatures and the cooling nights. So you do want to get it in, you know, in early September, even some things you could start right now. But if you're going to plant a few starts, you know, wait until they're, you know, you're not going to stick them out there and it's still 105 degrees.
Jay, is it too early to change over my pots, my flower pots? Do you have some good stuff in the nursery?
Yeah, not yet. Not yet. But, you know, usually, you know, we start sticking our toes in the water next Labor Day weekend, which is next weekend. And then it's just a game of temperature. So, you know, we'll see come Labor Day what the temperatures are going to look like and kind of what the nighttime temperatures are doing as well. That might be as critical as anything. By about the 15th to the 21st of September, that's when, you know, it's kind of game on for winter annuals, petunias and snapdragons and geraniums and those types of things. So you might start seeing a few out there now. I would probably wait. Again, it's a very long season. You know, we plant our cool season color, you know, in September, October. It lasts till May or sometimes even June. So, you know, we see a lot of people get a little over anxious. They get out there and get it planted, and, you know, it's all of a sudden we have 105 or 6 in the middle of September again, and you know, they have to end up replanting again. And, you know, kind of take a little bit of a breath. No, nobody wants it to happen any faster than the nursery guy. And if he's telling you it's still a little too early, you know, then, you know, it probably is.
Now, in regards to too early, that rain last night, is it too early for me to go home and hit my citrus with fertilizer?
No, I mean,
I can do that a week early.
Citrus feeding, you know, Labor Day is kind of just the way we remember it, but we can be feeding citrus from probably late July through August and into September, no problem at all. So, yeah, absolutely, we should be feeding citrus, feeding pretty much anything in your, you know, trees, shrubs, vines, even the slightly frost-sensitive or cold-touchy stuff you could feed if you do it now. You're not going to push too much growth too quickly You still got a long ways to go before we're worried about cold weather. And I'll tell you what, this has been a, I know it's gotten nice here in the last week or so, but it's been a brutal summer.
It has.
On mm-hmm. plants. And I don't know what it's going to go down historically wise, but I think June was what, one or two, and July was one or two.
And then we went from January to August virtually with no rain.
Right.
No. But you know what? We've received as much rain this year so far as we did all of 2015.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I hadn't watched that. Yeah. So that's, we're, wow, we're that's crazy.
Eight, well, and it depends which rain gauge you're looking at. But I'm looking at in the northeast valley area, okay. Scottsdale area, we're at 8 inches for year to date, which is what we got all of last year.
And we still have, you know,
hopefully
November and December, which can be pretty wet. So that's a good thing. And these wet, you know, kind of humid, cooler mornings and nights, you can already see recovery on plants, popping new growth, trying to recover. So a little light feeding right now will definitely help them recover from a lot of heat stress, a lot of bad-looking plants out there with the heat stress, even stuff that doesn't normally, you know, get affected too badly.
We started screening those calls out because it was just the same thing over and over. Yeah. My plants are suffering. My plants are suffering. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you to join the conversation.